And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It's a Tuesday, November the 13th, 2018. 14 minutes past the hour, you're tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears along with you for the ride. And today we have a very interesting guest. He's a political scientist. He's an author, and you can hear him most regularly on this station every Monday morning between 10:10 a.m. and 11 a.m. on Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam Lepp. I listen to the program every Monday morning, and you should as well. Very stimulating conversation. What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones after the midterm elections, Dr. Ronald Fineman. Dr. Fineman, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much for inviting me again, Scott. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's always good to have you on. Now, before the midterm elections, we had a conversation, and now that they're over, kind of. Well, first of all, what's going on down there in your state of Florida with the Senate and the gubernatorial race?
Well, the gubernatorial race is about 33,000 vote lead right now for Ron DeSantis, the Republican, over the Democrat, Andrew Gillum, even though the public opinion polls show Gillum always leading, which is interesting how polls seem to have failed again. And in the Senate race, it's much closer. It's a 12,000 vote lead for Governor Rick Scott running for the Senate to try to defeat Democrat Senator Bill Nelson. And it's going through a recount, reminding us of the year 2000 in Palm Beach County, where I live, and in Broward County next door, south of us. And it's really a mess. But I would think it's unlikely that either Scott or DeSantis will lose their edge, because the lead is still quite a bit, even though it's less than 0.5%. But there's some saying that the Broward County ballot had Scott at the bottom of the ballot, below directions. They have a crazy ballot in Broward County, apparently, and that some people didn't seem to vote, either person for the Senate race. So they're thinking they might have to do a recount and actually look at each ballot, which will delay the whole situation quite a bit, unfortunately.
Well, here was my question, and we'll start in Florida. We'll move up to Georgia, and then we'll come here to Ohio. So let's start in Florida last Tuesday. Now, we all heard voter turnout was enormous, more than it was in the 2016 elections, and I think every state pretty much echoed that.
That's correct.
People turned out on election day a lot higher than they ever had in any other midterm in the history of midterms.
It's since 1966, yeah.
1966. So here's my question. Let's start with Florida, because Florida's gubernatorial race, in all the polls I saw leading into that, showed Gillum leading that race by 2 or 3 points. How did he end up losing with a high voter turnout?
I do not understand, particularly since we had a referendum on whether felons who had met their responsibility to society should be given their vote back, and it won by 2-1. So when I saw that was happening, I said, wow, it looks like Gillum's going to do well, and also Nelson. But it didn't work out that way, and it makes me wonder if there's some kind of behind-the-scenes shenanigans that has led to this. I do not know, and I hate to think that it might be possibly racism. The idea of an African-American governor in a southern state, just like in Georgia, I just wonder if there's some kind of an issue there of race. Not in South Florida, but in the rest of the state. And I'm hoping it's not true, but I'm starting to wonder.
But Bob Nelson was the incumbent Democratic senator,
yeah,
in Florida. And he is a white male, and he didn't win.
No, he did not win either, and yet the election result was closer for him, losing only 12,000. I don't know what to make of it. I don't understand. Obviously, a lot of people do not answer public opinion polls how they really feel. Maybe they feel they didn't want to vote for Gillum, in the case of Gillum, but they didn't want to say it, so the polls made him look like he was ahead. But with Nelson, it could be an issue of Nelson being 76 years old and seemingly much more bland and slower, in quotes, than Rick Scott, who's 65. There may be an issue of ageism there. I don't really know. It blows my mind what happened. Really, the whole country went blue overall, except maybe Ohio for the governorship. But other than that, pretty much most things went the way, that polls indicated would go toward the Democrats. But Florida seems to be an outlier.
Well, Florida seemingly has went red as well.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I say it seems as if Florida has went red as well.
That's what I'm saying, that Florida is an outlier. Yeah, it really is, and Ohio somewhat, but not for the senatorial race. So I think Florida is the biggest exception to what happened in 2018, and it is suspicious, but I suppose nothing can be done about, you know, beyond the recount and hope that it shows an accurate result.
Well, it's interesting to me because in Ohio, we had a senator race, Sherrod Brown, and Renacci, and we also had a gubernatorial race. Now, our gubernatorial race went Republican, but our senator race went Democrat, and we had an incumbent Democratic senator. In Florida, it all went Republican, which
yes.
makes me think, now, is Florida a red state? This is a midterm, and Trump won it as well.
Yes, it could be. Hopefully that's not the case, but from my perspective. But, I mean, you got to realize Florida has an older population and a very large white population that migrates from the Midwest and from the Northeast. And the argument is the age factor, older people tend to vote Republican, could be a factor, except in South Florida, where there's much more of a mix. But in Central and Northern Florida, the mix is not as great, although there's been more Puerto Ricans in Central Florida, and that may have led to a reaction, and unfortunately by whites, not liking the not liking the influx of what's going on. I don't know. It's a lot of things people are not going to say, but I have a feeling Florida is affected by the age issue and by the whole issue of Northern and Central Florida being very different from South Florida.
Well, I think something that's interesting is President Obama was out on the campaign trail, and it seemed to me the particular race that he took a particular interest in was the gubernatorial race in Florida. And it didn't turn out for him, and the Republican candidate, DeSantis, he was a Trumper, handpicked by Donald Trump.
Yes, he was, and I must point out that the crowd that came to watch Obama was much larger than came to watch Trump when he came to campaign. It's just hard to understand. I don't understand, but of course you can't always go by crowds, and you can't always go by public opinion polls. There's no way to be sure of anything. So for 2020, to try to imagine what's going to happen, it's really impossible. Anything could happen.
Now in Georgia, now we believe Georgia is a red state, but still Abrams was polling in the last polls I saw about 1% over Kemp, yet she loses as well. And Oprah was there. Obama was there. The only one that Oprah got heavily involved with that I know of, she went door to door and still couldn't swing that one.
No, but in that state, the Secretary of State was the Republican nominee, and I think that had an influence maybe in the whole issue of voter suppression and maybe not accepting provisional ballots. He finally did back out of being involved in the recount that's going on. But I think the whole situation is quite crooked with Brian Kemp from the beginning. And also, I must say, that Rick Scott was getting involved in the recount, and you know, which he really had no right to do because he's also a candidate, you know, for election himself for the Senate. So there could be, over the long haul, some indication that there's some corruption involved, but it probably is not going to change what's going on now.
Here in Ohio, during the entire process, DeWine, the Republican, Cordray, the Democrat, were always very close, but as we got closer to Election Day, it showed that Cordray was ahead by about 2 points. He ends up losing by 4 points.
Yes, and it was a very big disappointment. It's hard to know what's going on. I don't know how to explain it. But again, it just proves no matter what you think you know about what's going to happen, it comes down to what happens on Election Day and also those who vote early and whether all votes are counted. And it is disturbing that President Trump did not want the military vote, which is coming in still to Florida, to count when obviously every vote should count, even if it delays the results. So that is not a good sign either, that not all votes are being counted, and probably true in Georgia as well.
But can we say, when we look at three different states, which are pretty far apart geographically, Georgia, Florida, and Ohio, we thought pretty much that we were going to see three Democratic governors, and if nothing else, too, at least Florida and Ohio, and none of them, and they're all controlled by different secretaries of state, they're all different states. To me, and they all had great voter turnout. Over a million people turned out early in Ohio.
And large numbers in Florida and Georgia as well. Yeah, again, I don't know what the answer is. Someday we'll probably find out, but it's not going to change what the official result is. After all, there's still debate about the year 2000, whether George W. Bush really won Florida. There's still people who contend otherwise, but it's history. It can't be changed, and we're going to have to see what happens in the next few days to a week. But most likely, the Republicans are going to keep all three governorships, in case of Ohio, for sure.
Well, I think here's what I think on the Democratic side is going on, and I think this is the problem. The big news for the Democratic Party on Tuesday, they lost a lot of these governorships, which I really don't know what that means when it comes to gerrymandered districts. I think that's not going to be good for the Democrats yet again. But the House. The House goes Democrat, so come January, we will have a Democratic House. But already, it hasn't even been a week, and the Democrats are already, it can't be Nancy Pelosi. We got to get her out of there. She's got to go. This is what I don't understand about the Democrats. Why do they do that? She won. Her group won. Now you want to kick her out before she can even get in there.
Well, I think that's the new young women primarily that are coming in that want a new generation. The suggestion has been maybe have a replacement of the second and third Democratic figures, but not Nancy Pelosi. Put new people in for the second and third figures in place of Steny Hoyer and James Clyburn, and then one of those two would succeed her in 2020, because she seems to have indicated, Nancy Pelosi, that if Hillary had won, she would have left already. So I think she just wants to usher in the new Democratic majority, accomplish something, and then probably will retire at age 80 in 2020. But we need to have somebody below her who is next in line, who has some experience as majority leader or majority whip. So I think that's her strategy, and I think it'd be unwise to get, to have Nancy Pelosi pushed out. I don't think anybody right now would be proper to replace her, but we do need some turnover in the lower positions under her.
Well, it was just interesting to me as the celebration went on, and I remember before the election they were knocking Pelosi because she said it was going to happen. Well, she was right. It did happen. And then immediately, within 24 hours, we don't know if she's going to be coming back as Speaker of the House. We've got to get people in there to run against her. The Republicans don't act that way.
No, the Democrats are going back to Will Rogers' time in the 1920s, basically a century ago, said that it's a party that's not organized. It's an unorganized party. It's always been a problem more for the Democratic Party. They don't play hardball as well with the opposition as Republicans generally do. That is a problem. It's part of the nature of the Democratic Party, and it's infuriating, to say the least.
Well, when I look at Nancy Pelosi, she is the Speaker of the House that got through Obamacare with President Obama. If
yes.
I'm a Democrat, my feeling would be, who better to deal with President Trump than some young, unknowing person?
I agree, and also the fact is she is rated for the years 2007, 8, 9, and 10 as outstanding and overall one of the best speakers of the House, far better than those before her and after, and the best one since Tip O'Neill. And I think she does not get enough recognition, but she knows how to raise money, she knows how to organize, and again, maybe in 2020 she retire, but I think she should usher in the Democratic majority. I totally agree on that.
What do you make of, on election night, President Trump called Nancy Pelosi and said, you deserve to be the Speaker of the House, and I'm willing to make deals with you?
I think he might have had some extra medication. I don't understand. I think he's trying to create division in the Democratic Party by so-called endorsing Nancy Pelosi, which I don't think helped her that he did that. And I don't really believe for a minute that there's going to be any negotiation on anything, even though he says it. He's been off the rails. Other than that one statement, he's been off the rails totally in the last 9 days. I think he's becoming more and more dangerous and reckless every day in what he says or what he does.
Well, I would agree with you on that point that maybe he had endorsed Pelosi to make Democrats not like her. But
yes.
but on the opposite hand, Paul Ryan, who has no political future at this point, he kicked him on the way out the door.
Yes, he did. And it makes one even wonder if Ryan might maybe think of running for president sooner rather than later in opposition, but it depends if he has the guts to speak up, because he basically has been very weak as speaker and allowed Trump to get away with an awful lot and harm the Republican brand. And the same with Mitch McConnell.
But wouldn't it be interesting, because honestly, aside from the budget, I don't think President Trump really got anything accomplished with the Congress. He didn't get the wall built. He didn't get Obamacare repealed or replaced. He didn't get any of that done. Wouldn't it be interesting if he is actually a pragmatist, which I think President Trump, I really believe that's what he is. I'm not sure if he's a Republican or a Democrat. I think he is a pragmatist. I think President Trump will do what's best for President Trump. And if he was able to get things done with the Democrats, he would be the first president. Obama didn't get anything done with the Republicans. W. Bush didn't get anything done with the Democrats. What if he is actually a pragmatist like Bill Clinton and gets things done with the Democrats? It would help his image.
I suppose it would. I want to remind you that Richard Nixon fought with the Democrats, but went along in creation of the Environmental Protection Agency, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, Occupational Safety and Health Administration, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and Affirmative Action, and yet they still went after him to impeach him. So, I mean, you can possibly get some things done, but it's not going to change the issue of the illegalities that he's been involved in, and I don't think the Democrats are going to become that nice with him. But they might be willing to work on infrastructure, possibly, that is true, and maybe on trying to somehow come up with a budget that's reasonable.
Well, that's one I didn't understand. Why, for 2 years, it would have been good for the Republican Congress, why didn't they pass infrastructure?
Well, the Republicans, since they took over the House since the 2011, have really not done much of anything except to oppose Obamacare. And by the way, I want to point out, as I wrote in my blog one day, Mitch McConnell has said the battle over Obamacare is over. We're not going to be able to repeal it. And so that makes it part of the social justice, social welfare, social safety net, along with Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. You might cut funding, but you're not going to get rid of Obamacare. And hopefully there will be pre-existing conditions improved, and the details of Obamacare would be made better. But basically, after 8 years of fighting it, the Republicans have given up because they lost control of the House and they can't get rid of it. So they're basically conceding that, which I found interesting.
But under President Obama, I don't like it, but I understand it, that Democrats or Republicans were never going to go along with what Obama wanted. Obama wanted infrastructure, but they were just opposing him because they like to oppose the opposite party. But I'm talking about this 2 year period under President Trump. Why were they not able to get infrastructure through during that period?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the House Freedom Caucus, you know, which wants to cut spending and doesn't want to do anything federal where they can avoid it, including the congressman in your area, Jim Jordan. He would be against any kind of major funding on anything other than tax cuts. So, and the House Freedom Caucus has a major influence on the Republicans and might actually have more influence now with a lot of moderates out. As far as based on the election. So I think the Republican Party is, just like the Democrats, they're both disorganized, but I think the Republicans are in worse shape now, and they're becoming more and more a white party and not really appealing to minorities or women, and that's a real problem for the short term and the long term for their future existence.
Is our congressman here, Jim Jordan, is he going to be the minority leader?
Well, I would hope not. I'm not a big fan of Kevin McCarthy, who is certainly a Reagan, person and follows him very closely. But I think Jordan would be more destructive for the Republican agenda than McCarthy. There's also the chance Steve Scalise might, the majority whip might run. Of course, he had a past association with David Duke. So I would think any of them are terrible. But if I was going to be as an outsider, I would say McCarthy would be probably the least bad choice. But I don't know if I believe the House Freedom Caucus, Jim Jordan, is going to end up as minority leader, but I think that would be a disaster for the Republican Party. But we'll have to see.
Well, I was watching a show yesterday, and you recently published a blog about the Year of the Woman. Now, tell us about the Year of the Woman.
Okay, well, in fact, I did that just this morning. The fact is, we now have more women in the new Congress than ever before, at least 122 women, about 80% or more Democrats, We have three states that now have a new senator that's a woman, and never had it before, Tennessee, Arizona, and Nevada. In Tennessee, it's a Republican, Marsha Blackburn, who I'm not a big fan of, but she won the seat over Phil Bredesen. There's also more African-American women, Latino women, Asian-American women, Native American women, Muslim women, Hindu women, gay women, and younger women in Congress. And we now have at least nine governors who are women, and this includes, you know, Democrats mostly. They won Michigan, in Kansas, and in South Dakota, the Republicans won, and Georgia is still open, although unlikely. But the fact is, the Midwest really did go blue, except for Ohio. We did see Michigan go blue, and we saw Wisconsin defeat Scott Walker, which I was very happy about. And Kansas, my gosh, I mean, just imagine Chris Kobach, who was one of the original people promoting voter suppression, was on that committee that Trump formed, and then they disbanded without any action. He lost to Laura Kelly, and that was a big upset to have Kansas do that. So, I mean, there are now nine, or there might be ten, more likely nine women governors. We'll have, I think, 24 women senators now instead of 23. Two lost, but three won, so we'll have a gain of one. And, of course, we very likely are going to have four women senators, all Democrats, announcing soon. Probably all will run. Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, Kamala Harris of California, Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, and Kirsten Gillibrand of New York. And I just want to say, as I've said before, if you ask me who I would prefer of that group, I would prefer Amy Klobuchar. She's from the Midwest, and that's the crucial area to win. So I think her chance of being a candidate and having a real serious possibility grows, as does Sherrod Brown, your senator from Ohio, who now hints he might enter the race, also from the Midwest. So I think the Midwest is the crucial battleground, as always, for the next election. And I think it's a very good possibility the Democrats can win back what Hillary Clinton could not win.
Now, we're going to get to that in a second. But what we want to talk about now is our outgoing governor, John Kasich. Now, Tuesday, Election Day, he finally kind of endorsed DeWine in the end, but DeWine was certainly a Trump guy. DeWine wins the state by 4 points. Do things look good for Governor Kasich running for president? I mean, we pretty well know he wants to do it, but how's he going to do it?
Well, I think he's going to run. I don't know what the chances of him winning the nomination are always low for anybody who's fighting an incumbent president, because all the incumbent presidents in the 20th century who had challenges all ended up being nominated, but they all lost. William Howard Taft in 1912, and of course, Gerald Ford in 1976, and Jimmy Carter in 1980, and George H.W. Bush in 92. So the challenge by different people, some of them real stars like Ted Kennedy against Carter and Ronald Reagan against Ford, weakened these presidents, and they all lost. So if nothing else, his major contribution might be to weaken Trump if he's still around, which I think he will not be. If Pence is in, I think it'll be a lot easier for someone like Kasich to overcome him. I still think Kasich is a very serious potential contender, and we could theoretically have a Midwest candidate against a Midwest candidate like we had in 1920 with James Cox, the Democrat from Ohio, and Warren G. Harding from Ohio. It would be very interesting 100 years later to have theoretically two Ohioans, if it was Brown against Kasich, or even if it was Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota against Kasich, to have a Midwest choice again. And I think that could happen.
Well, let's talk about the Democratic side, because on Sunday there was an op-ed written by a former Hillary Clinton advisor that says she is definitely thinking about getting in 2020, and unlike other stories that have been written about this, CNN jumped on this, a lot of major news outlets jumped on this, and interestingly enough, Hillary Clinton is not denying it. Now, you would think if it was an absolute fabrication, she would have said, no dice, it's not going to happen. Well, she didn't.
Well, the thing is that she also recently was giving a speech, and she was asked, and she said, I would like to be president, but I don't plan to run, or I'm not going to run. Of course you'd like to be president. Possibly what you said, if it comes out soon from the Mueller investigation that the election was truly fixed, that might be a grounds for her, as you said, to maybe enter the race. But unless that's clear-cut, I don't see her doing it. But I also think if she enters the race, it's going to so divide the Democratic Party, it could very well destroy any chance of them winning the presidency.
Well, this is the conversation I want to have.
Yeah.
This is what I don't understand about the Democratic Party, because the Republicans didn't say anything when this advisor said Hillary Clinton was going to win Michigan again. But the Democrats swarmed her and said, oh, God, don't do that. It's going to be awful. Please don't do that. Now, here's my thing about that. Doesn't she have to get in the primary and win it? Why not? Let her do it.
Well, of course she has the right to do it, but I think it would make it much more contentious than it would be if she did not. But actually, with possibly, jokingly, 40 or 50 possible candidates, probably 25 that were actually announced, it's already going to be contentious. And that is good and it's not good. It depends. But yes, I mean, I don't think she would win the nomination. If she did, well, then I guess if she could overcome all the opponents in her party, I guess she would have to be taken seriously. But I don't really think she would win the nomination.
You know, I don't know, because I think Hillary Clinton has done things in the last 2 or 3 months that really hint that she's going to run. The number one thing was you can't be civil anymore. We've never seen an uncivil Hillary Clinton. Also, the idea that she said she would like to be president, I thought that was very interesting.
Yes.
And the fact that she is not denying this article. And the article basically says that the other people will announce, but before the primaries, she will get in. Now, I look at that field and I think if the Hillary Clinton who came out and primaried against Obama, if that Hillary Clinton shows up, I think the Democrats are in trouble in the primary. I don't think any of them can stand up to her. None of them. That
not
I've
even
heard.
Joe Biden, you don't think?
No, Joe Biden couldn't stand up to her in that primary. He was gone long before Hillary. Joe Biden was a part of those debates with Obama and Hillary back in 2008. I think she'd squish Joe Biden like a bug.
Well, of course, some people also think Joe Biden's been around the corner too many times, around the block, and it's time for him to not run. And there are those who feel he's too old, even though the same people might not have trouble with Bernie Sanders, who's older, because he's not as much known until 2015. He was not really known. So there are a lot of young people who would say, oh, please, we want somebody fresh and new, someone in their 40s or 50s, like in 1960 when Kennedy ran against Nixon, that we need a new generation. So there's a lot of different strands and different people, and of course there's the issue of Kamala Harris and Cory Booker. Should we have another mixed race or African American candidate? Would it work again like in 2008? So there's lots of potential for a lot of division in the Democratic Party, and that could benefit the Republican Party depending on what happens with Trump.
Well, I guess I think the Mueller investigation will figure into this. And we already know, without the end of the Mueller investigation, we know that foreign money came in here to rally against Hillary Clinton. We know that. And, you know, if I was her, she's younger than Bernie. She's younger than Joe Biden. She's
yes.
younger than President Trump. She's younger than a lot of people who Bloomberg. She's younger than Bloomberg. Why not get in there?
Well, it will certainly keep the media business very busy if she does, and she certainly has a strong background and credentials. I always said that. But it's just a lot of people just don't like her. A lot of people can't stand her. And you
they
know,
say that about the president, too.
More effective against her than anybody else at this point.
Well, you know, they say that about the president, too, but he got elected.
Yes, but yet in most polls I've seen where they talk about Hillary and Bill, with everything about Bill Clinton is controversial, he always rates higher in public opinion polls. Is that because she's a woman? I'm not sure what it is. But if more people like Bill Clinton, some suppose he would say if he could run again, they would vote for him, but they don't want Hillary. So it may be a woman thing. Or maybe it's just her or the way she came across with the whole issue of the scandal, so-called scandals she was involved in, which were really not scandals, but were made out to be scandals.
Well, it's just fascinating to me on the Democratic side that there's this whole idea of let's get rid of the past, and you can't do this. And I don't quite understand that. I've never seen that on the Republican side. I mean, the Republicans have to know that Kasich probably is going to run, that Flake could run, that Mitt Romney could run now that he's headed back to the Senate. Yet I don't hear them going.
And Sass, too, I think, Will. Nebraska, yeah.
But they don't all turn around and go, gee whiz, don't do that. But the Democrats turn on their last nominee. I don't understand why they just don't let the process play out.
Well, they won't be able to stop her from running if she chooses to run. What's interesting now, though, some polls show that a lot of people want Michelle Obama, with her new book out, to run, although she says she has absolutely no desire to run. But it's funny how a lot of people would love to have Michelle Obama run, which would, if she announced, that would really add to the whole controversy even more. And it would be nonstop controversy with all of the big names competing against each other. And I just wonder if she was to run, how she would do. But she has made it clear she does not want to run. So
no, I don't think Michelle Obama will run. But I do think there's about a 70% possibility that Hillary Clinton will. Because I think there's the Mueller investigation working for her. The fact that she got more votes last time is working for her. I think also the fact that 2020 is the 100-year anniversary of women getting the right to vote. And I also think that she would certainly be smarter about it this time. I think you'd see a different Hillary Clinton. I think you'd see a different vice presidential pick. And I think her having a tough primary would make her stronger for the election. And she's the only one who's faced Donald Trump. And she, I thought, handled him pretty well in the debates.
Well, she did. But I'll tell you, if she did run again, she probably should do what she did not do, pick Senator Brown as her running mate. Well, and I think that would have made a difference in the small, you know, difference of votes in the Midwest.
I think that, and I think James Comey is no longer around. There would be no email investigation this time. A lot of things have changed in Hillary Clinton's world in the last 4 years.
And what about the idea of Hillary running with Amy Klobuchar as a vice president? Two women running in 2020. Wouldn't that be something?
Well, here's what I think, and I argued this on a show this morning. If Hillary Clinton got up there and took the gloves off in that primary, she's got more name recognition in the United States than anybody else. And can you see Kristen Gillibrand trying to go one-on-one with Hillary Clinton in a policy discussion?
Well, I'm not a big Kirsten Gillibrand.
Kirsten
Gillibrand.
Or Beto.
Anyway, I think it'd be interesting to see her, meaning Hillary, debate Elizabeth Warren or Kamala Harris, who are much more, serious candidates among women. It would be interesting to see how Elizabeth Warren would deal with her particularly.
Well, I just think in that particular area, I mean, you've got people think the Democrats are embracing Beto. They're embracing Avenatti. They're embracing Bloomberg. They're embracing Bernie Sanders. But they tell Hillary, go away. That's unbelievable to me. Let her in there. I mean, if she doesn't win, she doesn't win the primary. But why would you embrace Beto? Why would you embrace Bernie? Why would you embrace Avenatti? Why would you embrace Bloomberg, who just became a Democrat, and you're not embracing your last candidate?
Well, I think Avenatti and Bloomberg are not serious. Beto, however, has really drawn interest. He's inspired a lot of young people, and as I pointed out, he looks a little like Robert Kennedy, and it's interesting. His real name is Robert Francis O'Rourke, and I don't know it's a fact, but he was born 4 years after Robert Francis Kennedy was assassinated, and I wonder if that's why he has the name Robert Francis. I don't know, but he looks a lot like Robert Kennedy, and I've joked that if he was to run with Joe Kennedy III, the grandson of RFK, who looks like Ted Kennedy, that would be an unbelievable ticket of two congressmen running. Again, it's probably not going to happen, but just the thought of it is so, like, fascinating. I just think that a lot of people want new faces. I think that's what it is. They want to have a new start. So I'm not sure but she can run, but I don't think she would be the nominee at the end.
They always say that until they see him up on the stage and they don't know anything.
Well, Beto did a damn good race against Ted Cruz. He surprised everybody, getting within 2 points.
Yeah, but being president, you have those questions on that debate stage, and that's national. That's a little different than regional.
True.
And I don't think he knows anything. I'm not sure what he would know. What does he know? Has he even been to a four? And isn't he a felon? I think that would work against him.
Is it who a felon?
A Beto.
How is he a felon?
Didn't he have some crime issues? Maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe
I'm not aware of that. But he's been a House member for 6 years, and I point out Abraham Lincoln only served in the House 2 years, lost the Senate race, and 2 years later he was president. And H.W. Bush lost the Senate race in Texas after 4 years in the House, and years later he became president. So there is the idea that if Bush and Lincoln could do it, why couldn't Beto?
Beto was arrested in the 90s for burglary and DWI.
I wasn't aware of that. Wow, I've learned something today. I'm always learning. And what happened? He was dismissed, I guess.
Well, I don't know.
I did not know.
We'll have to go deep into that, but it's interesting because I thought there was something there.
Well, it didn't affect him in Texas. I mean, he didn't win, but he did damn well.
Well, he did, but like I say, I don't. Has he even been to a foreign country?
I don't know offhand. I'd have to look up. I haven't followed. I don't know his whole story to that detail. No, but I know that he's really inspired many people across the country in a way. For a loser of an election, is amazing.
Well, it's interesting. I think it's going to be a fascinating thing. I don't know. But you say Hillary Clinton could not get the nomination.
I do not think so, but, you know,
I may be wrong.
Certainly not always correct. I do not think so, no. I think it's more likely we would have either another woman get it or Joe Biden get it than she would, I really think. But it could also be somebody much younger, like a Chris Murphy or an Eric Garcetti, who I also have talked a lot about. You know, it's such an open field, so fluid, anything could happen. But I think it's... I guess you could say this could be just like Nixon losing and then winning. After 8 years later, we could have a situation like that. Anything is possible. Look, Bill Clinton had a select scandal with Jennifer Flowers, and he overcame that. So even with Beto, he could overcome that incident when he was young.
Well, yeah, and I don't think that's a big issue. I mean, driving while intoxicated and burglary, I mean, he was young. People
yes.
knew about it. Whatever happened, happened, I guess.
Yeah, well, I have to look further into this because I wasn't aware of that, so I thank you for educating me on that.
Well, yeah, I believe that's correct. Now, somebody may have to point that out. I was wrong, but I believe but I don't think it ever went to trial because I believe there were some claims that his father got him out of it or something like that, but I don't think he ever went to trial, but I believe he was accused of it.
Well, he was probably 18 and 19, and at that age, a lot of people do, quote, stupid, end quote, things. Not that it's right, but it happens.
Yeah. Well, and that's the way we'll go. But, I mean, what about Bloomberg here? He's got a lot of dough.
Well, that, I think, is an issue, by the way. He is so wealthy, he makes Trump look poor, even if Trump says he's worth, you know, as much as he claims he's worth. Bloomberg is such an independent. He was a Democrat, became an independent. Became a Republican to run for mayor, then became an independent, now is a Democrat. He also will be past 80 during the term, and... Actually, I hate to say it, being Jewish is probably not a plus either when it comes to a national race. I don't think we're ready for that yet. And he has very controversial stands on some issues that would turn a lot of people off. Not that I'm against what he says for gun control and environment, but I think it would be a problem nationally.
What about Hillary as president and Joe Kennedy III as vice president?
Well, actually, I've always thought, what about Joe Biden and Joe Kennedy? The two Joes together would be interesting. I think Joe Kennedy actually could even enter the race. I've just published an article about congressmen, and Joe Kennedy could possibly enter the race at some point. He's been in the House for 6 years and now starting his seventh year. And, you know, but he could be a running mate for vice president. Yes, he could.
I think this Joe Biden thing's going to die off as soon as the first of the year starts. I think as soon as he announces, he'll be dead in the water. It's interesting to me that the CNN poll that came out yesterday, he's in that poll, and he's still not polling in the lead. Kamala Harris is.
Yes, I noticed that. Yes, yeah.
I mean, isn't that a problem? I mean, more people have to know who Joe Biden is than Kamala Harris, and yet.
I think part of Joe Biden's problem is that he was a defender of the credit card industry in Delaware in the 90s with the idea of changing, how people can declare bankruptcy. That's not a plus. It's a long time ago, but it's being brought up lately. And also his handling of the Anita Hill hearings about Clarence Thomas, although he apologized for it. But I think, you know, he does have, I guess you say, skeletons in his closet that somehow never came up before. But now that he seems... more like in the leadership or one of the top people, and he's not behind a Hillary or an Obama, I think these things could haunt him.
Well, I think it'll be interesting because I think maybe the kids will go for Bernie again. Bernie and Beto are bust.
Well, but I think they might be switching from Bernie to Beto, it seems, from what I'm gathering. I'm shocked by how much younger people, including some students in my class, love Beto. And yet they really don't know that much about him. In fact, as I said, know a little bit, but not a lot about him.
That's the problem. Get him up on stage for about 15 minutes, and there's going to be Avenatti, the same problem, Bloomberg, the same problem.
You know, well, Avenatti, I think, is totally ridiculous. I don't see him. He's just a loudmouth. I don't see him as at all qualified. I think he's extremely divisive in a way that would not be good.
I just don't see. You're going to need a tough person to deal with President Trump if you're on the Democratic side. And I think the Democrats better just throw their hands up this time and say, listen, everybody run who's possible, and the one who can slug it out the best is probably our best choice to slug it out with the president.
But how to slug it out is the issue. Do you slug it out by being loud, like Elizabeth Warren, or being more prosecutorial, like Amy Klobuchar, who I keep on promoting? I think she's a more appropriate candidate, and she came across very well in the hearings on Kavanaugh, and I think that made her look better to a lot of people. And she's from Minnesota, from the Hubert Humphrey, Eugene McCarthy, Walter Mondale, and Paul Wellstone tradition, and I think that is something that's a plus for her.
Well, see, I think boring doesn't work. And I think that Democrats better figure that out. If it's just the vanilla ice cream that they tend to run, ran against George W. Bush,
Dukakis.
I think they lose again.
H.W. Bush, Dukakis, yeah, and Kerry and Gore. Yeah, but are you saying that you think that she's boring, Amy Klobuchar?
I think again, the name recognition is going to be a problem. I think being on the political stage is going to be a problem. And I think that she hasn't been examined. Nobody's went through her skeletons yet. And that's why I say I truly do believe we all might hate Hillary, but we know her. We know what her skeletons are. There's nothing new there. We know about Bernie. He's been exercised on the public scale. We know about Joe Biden now. He's being a little bit more executed, but we know pretty much what he does.
Yes.
And that's why I think in the grand scheme of things, the people who've been on the national stage, when you get 12 or 13 or 16 or 18 people, you're going to see the people who've never run before, they're not going to know how to handle themselves with these heavy hitters who do know how to handle themselves, and I think that's going to change it.
So basically, you're saying that at the end, you think should nominate a person in their mid to high 70s to follow Trump.
I think you better nominate somebody who doesn't mind being tweeted about every day. You better nominate somebody who can take the pressure. You better nominate somebody who can stand on the debate stage and handle him. And for your vice president, look young. If you want a nice Beto, if you want a nice Joe Kennedy, if you want a nice Gillibrand or Kamala Harris, that's
well,
a good
Chris
vice.
Chris Murphy of Connecticut is another one I like to promote, yes.
That's good for vice president.
Yeah.
But you don't want to spend your fundraising time and your primary time and all that TV time trying to get the country to know who this person is.
Okay, what about Elizabeth Warren you're not talking about, though? She's an older person.
I think she's
well-known, well, not as well-known as them, but... You
know. I think she's more divisive than Hillary. I think she's
well,
got the...
I think
the
she is. She's got a louder mouth, yes. A man can get away with it like a Chris Christie or a Rudy Giuliani or Newt Gingrich,
well,
but a woman who's that loud may not get away with it. You're right.
Well, I'm going to say John McCain to you for this reason. When John McCain ran for president in 2018... Or 2008, nobody thought it was going to be John McCain because he had lost, he was a nothing, he had no money. Get John McCain out of here, he's too old, terrible, get out of here. Giuliani was considered to be the favorite. He's the
front runner at this point.
Yeah,
2007, yeah.
Yeah, Giuliani, oh, he's the only one who can win, and we've also got Mitt Romney here, and he's got a lot of dough. Well, guess who ended up being the nominee? John McCain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that's the Hillary issue. I think they love to hate her. That's the term. They love to hate her. And I think she's just got name recognition. And in all these places, you know, for these primaries, you know, she won Ohio in the primary. She won Florida in the primary. She won California in the primary. She won New York in the primary. You know, that's John Kasich. Most people, if you walked up on the street and said, do you like President Trump or John Kasich? They'd say John Kasich. But people in New Hampshire don't know John Kasich. And they don't know Gillibrand. They don't know Kamala Harris. They don't know Cory Booker.
They all have to go up and campaign in these states, of course. Yeah,
yeah, but do you want to...
I gather you're saying that we're not going to have another 1976 Jimmy Carter or 2008 Barack Obama, a person from outside, come in.
I think it would be a mistake. I think if it goes that way, because... This is not the time to try to introduce people to the crowd. I think one of the reasons Donald Trump got the nomination of his party was because everybody knew who Donald Trump was. Now, everybody said he was hated, but they knew who he was.
It's just an interesting perspective. Sort of the kind of thing we can debate and discuss for the next 2 years.
Well, we can't. But my only thing is, and I don't care if the Democrats nominate Hillary or not, but I just thought within 24 hours to have a backlash like that by your own party, I thought, well, that is strange. I mean, what can she do in the primary besides lose? If she's as unpopular and as unlikable as people say she is, she'll lose.
Yes, by the way, Adam Lepp just sent me Facebook email saying he was arrested for burglary and DWI, Beto O'Rourke. It's true. PolitiFact Texas says that. So you're right on that.
I thought so. See, that's not going to work on
him. Back then, he looks quite different. Of course, he's like 20 years old, yeah.
See, people in Iowa aren't going to like that.
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah, it could. It could be. I mean, this is stunning. I'm just reading this now. So apparently... this is 1995, so he was 23. He was born in the 70s. He wasn't 18. He was 23.
And somebody told me the other day, they said, you know, I'm not necessarily a fan of Hillary Clinton, but I think she got the boots put to her. And I want her to run again for that fact. I think her and Joe Kennedy III, I think that is a with the Kennedy lineage... and the Clinton lineage, and the first woman president, and all that, and no Russian interference this time, and no James Comey, I think that'd be hard to beat. Can you think of a better pairing than that for name recognition, not having to introduce yourself, and a Democratic ticket that represents women and young people? Any pairing of any of other two of these people that would do that?
I must say, what you're saying sounds like a good sales pitch here, especially bringing in the Clintons and the Kennedys. Yes, you got a point there. Yeah, it's interesting. I'll have to do more reflection on that, but I commend you for coming up with this. It really is an interesting idea, and I want to thank Adam Lepp for having let me know that what you said is correct, that he was arrested for burglary and DWI. Wow, so that could be a negative thing.
And Hillary wants us to have big sodas, not like that Bloomberg. So...
it's a little silly on the part of Bloomberg, silly. I think. Yeah, that really alienates a lot of people.
You take big sodas away and he'll lose 50 states, I guarantee you. Now here, before we part ways, Dr. This is always fun.
It is.
it's interesting because, just give me this at this point. With the articles and everything, do you think Hillary Clinton will run? Because that's the question of today.
I don't know, really. It's hard to say. The fact that that article was published by this person, I've had others tell me, oh, that's one person's opinion who worked for her. That doesn't mean anything. I think it probably depends on what the Mueller investigation says. If it shows, really, that she was robbed of the victory, then I think she will, like you've said. But if it doesn't come up with that conclusion at some point, then I think she probably would not. But what you said a few times ago makes a lot of sense.
With all the publicity it's getting right now, don't you think if it wasn't true, she would have knocked it down already?
It's an interesting point. I hadn't thought about that the last couple of days. That's true. She probably would have. But I don't think she's going to enter early. I think she'll see how others
It'll
do and which ones bomb out first. Don't you think?
Yeah, because she doesn't have to introduce herself to the country.
No, she could announce it in August, let's say, and let everybody else wear themselves out meanwhile.
and see
which ones survive and which ones, indeed fail. Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense, and it certainly gives us ammunition to continue to discuss this over time, doesn't it?
And she's also got a super PAC, remember that.
Yes.
There you go.
And would Joe Kennedy III agree to run with her? I would think he probably would. Wouldn't you think?
Oh, sure. I think he would because he doesn't want to be president. I don't believe he wants to be president, but I believe he would take that job.
And, of course, if something went wrong, he'd be president then.
Yeah.
In the future, in 8 years. But that would be, wow. I mean, he'd only be 40 years old. He'd be like the age that indeed Richard Nixon was when he became vice president.
But I think Hillary would finish out her term. I think Hillary will be around for quite a while.
Yeah, but at age 44, 48, he could then say, I've been vice president, I'm running for president. We could have a Robert Kennedy grandson running, which would be exciting and appealing to a lot of people. That's true.
It's fascinating. Dr. Feinman, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I look forward to the next time.
Yes, we'll be back in about 10 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Bing needs telephone number 740-751-1780. The GH Radio Prize Policy.